give a moment. Let's give a moment to the Lord to just let that truth sink in. Lord, help us to recognize the world as it is. Help us to recognize you, who you are, and us as who we are in you. Thank you that you don't ever leave us. You strengthen us, you equip us, and you're always there for us. Help us to bend our hearts to you. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated.
Okay. Yeah, I saw the red button. Hi there. Get this on. Or we'll just do this. How's that? Okay. Well, praise God. It's good to be here. And just as Maureen's coming back, last week we were down in southern Alberta sharing. And I kind of did something a little bit different, kind of put Maureen on the spot. We did a different type of service. I threw out my notes, and I made her on the piano, and every time we made a point, we sung a song to the Lord, and she said, well, what do you want me to sing? And I said, whatever God shows you. So she was kind of on the spot at that moment, and it was all good. So what I'm going to do today, I may ask her to come at some point to sing. If you are not familiar with us, we do things a little bit different. I believe we have an Aquila Priscilla type ministry, or Priscilla Aquila ministry. At any time, Maureen could jump up, give a point right in the middle of what I'm saying, and I am very open to that, because I know that the Lord is speaking through her many times. But something different we're going to do here today. I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm sure we all had our devotion sometime today or last night, or read something. I like a couple of people, maybe not Ina right away. I'd like a couple people come forward and share a verse or two, because I want to show you something that God is doing in His people today. And I'm even going to take the portion of Scripture that Carrie read earlier, because it's Carrie and I didn't talk. Did we talk? Did we share verses? No, we didn't. But you're going to see how what she shared is going to fit into what God has given me to share to you. So this is all about God transitioning His church into what He wants it to be, because we've misunderstood what church is. It's not a spectator sport. You're to participate. So I want a couple people, don't be shy. Everybody knows each other here. You come up and you share with the congregation. Yeah, share your verse. You got a verse that God gave you last night or this morning or the other day? Come on. Or I'll start calling people out. What do you think of that? That'll freak you out. Yeah. And this is our good friend Char, for those that don't know her. We've known Char for, oh dear, let's say 3 weeks ago. We don't want to date ourselves. It's been 30 plus years we've known each other. And I got to see her son yesterday. Was it yesterday? And I have seen Jordy for years. And I said, do you remember me? He goes, now he's 34 now. He goes, yeah, I remember you. I couldn't get up the hill. We were all tobogganing. We went out as a fellowship thing, as a church. We were all tobogganing. And he goes, I kept falling and you carried me up the hill. So he remembered. So that was good. Okay, but let's get this started. Give the address. Yes. Anybody else? Come on, dear. You got your Bible open. Go for it. Stand up and let it go.
Amen. This one's come up to me all week long. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word of Christ.
Those two verses, you're going to see, will fit right into the message. Because God isn't speaking to the preacher. He's speaking to his people. And we tend to think that he does it. Somebody else? Somebody else? Come on. You're going to hear me, Yak. Okay, brother. Give them the address so they know. Okay. We're liking Mark today. Okay. So we're going to get started. We're going to turn to the book of Kings, 2 Kings, and we're going into chapter 4. Or was it chapter 5? Chapter 5. I apologize. So this morning, Father, we thank you for what you are doing. We thank you for the great and wonderful things that are taking place in our day. Father, we look around at times and we say, what great and wonderful thing. And yet you are causing us to tune in to what you are doing. You are causing us to hear. You are causing our ears to hear. Lord, the days of dull hearing, the days of poor eyesight, the days of the heart not understanding, is coming to a conclusion. You want us to see, you want us to hear, and you want us to understand. And we thank you and we praise you for that in your holy name. Lord, I pray that you would take the weakness of my frame, the voice that I have, and you would speak and do what you want to do even this day for your name's sake and for your glory. And Lord, these verses that were just shared, these portions of Scripture, that's you speaking through the people to one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to see that the hand of God is at work. So we give you praise this morning in your holy name. Amen. So I read out of the ESV. It just means the English Standard Version. At times, and you can ask me later after the service, I read out of it. There's a scholar that I kind of a student of his. At times, the ESV is very clunky because it's a literal translation, a word-for-word translation. So it is a little clunky, but I do it because of the Deuteronomy 32 worldview. Because there's a different worldview out there than we realize. So in this story, and many of you are familiar. Oh, great. The story about Nathan, the leper. This again. Oh man, how many more times are people going to preach on this crap? This is the story of Naaman. And I only want to key in on a couple of verses. Verse 2, well, everybody knows who Naaman is. He's the Syrian leader, great commander in a nation that was opposing Israel all the time. He was the commander-in-chief, except he wasn't the king. He was second to the king. And it says, now the Syrians, verse 2, now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. Little girl. Nobody significant. Little girl maybe that size. I don't know. Little girl that size has been carried off to work in the enemy's land. Sometimes do you feel like you're in the enemy's land in the world you live in today? Here she is. She's carried off, and she's in the service of Naaman. And the Bible tells us he's a great leader, but he's a leper. In verse 3, she said to her mistress, would that my Lord, I could go on and on about would that my Lord. She didn't say, would that dirty, rotten bum, would that tyrant. Look at the things that we call those that are in positions of authority over us in our land. Call them all sorts of things. I challenged during the trucker convoy that was in Ottawa. I knew one fella that went up there. He was a believer. And he had that particular sign on the back of his vehicle that started with F and ended with the word Trudeau. And I just said to him politely, I said, how is that becoming of you as a Christian? He's the leader, whether we like it or not, whether he did it by hook or by crook, whether he's doing wicked things or not, he's the leader. He's the leader. I remember going before the Lord in my personal prayer time and saying, Lord, I don't particularly like him. I disagree with his politics. I think it's very unfair. But I would bow my knee before the Lord and I would say, nevertheless, not my will, yours be done. You told me to pray for the leaders. There's never a time in the scripture where we can justify what we have been doing as a nation of believers in Canada. I remember Christians saying to me, we need to pray him out of there. Well, you did it. How's Carney working for you? How's that working? We need to be praying, God, your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So she said, would that my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy. Now I'm going to read it out of my translation. This is the translation according to Mike. I don't know if Shar remembers me doing this years ago. I would say, everybody turn to Hezekiah 3:16. He who sits upon a tack shall surely rise. Well, you'd hear pages turning because they're looking for Hezekiah. So this is Mike's translation. So we'll go back to this. And one of the raids had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife, and she said, it really sucks to be here. I don't know why God allowed this to happen to me. If only I was allowed to go home, and I wouldn't be so mad at God and sick and tired of everything that keeps happening to me, that always goes wrong for me, and never anything goes right for me. And where is God anyhow? Because he's just wrecking my life. That's what we say as Christians. It's unfair. Here's another version of Mike. When I finally get home, I'll let them know that there's a prophet, but until I get home, there's nothing I can do. There's absolutely nothing I can do. I can't do a darn thing because I'm in captivity and I'm a slave girl and there's nothing I can do. See, those are the translations according to Mike. But we do it. We do it all the time. I've had people say to me, and many people say to Maureen, she had one lady say to her, I want to start a mum's club. She just had a little baby. And Maureen said to her, do it. She wants to do it out of her home. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm really equipped. And Maureen, she said it a little nicer than me. For crying out loud, what could God tell you to do? She said it nicer than that. Why am I bringing up all this stuff? Because there's something in this story that is far more powerful than Naaman just getting healed of leprosy. But we miss it because we read it under a certain set of glasses. We read it under a certain set of mindset. And Naaman, and there's a number of characters in here. We know there's Elisha, there's Naaman, there's this little servant girl who's never, her name is mentioned, never. Nobody knows about her other than Naaman, his wife, and a few of his servants. No one knows. She's unnoticed, but God notices. There's Gehazi, who's the servant of Elisha. There's the king of Israel that's panicking and losing his mind. That the king of Assyria is sending Naaman. You know the story. He's sending Naaman with a letter saying, heal my servant Naaman. And the king is freaking out, tearing his clothes, losing his mind. He just can't figure this out. Who am I? God, I can't do this. And so Naaman's even ticked off. He's angry that he would tell him to go and dip in the Jordan River. You know the story. Come on, you know this story. You've been in church for years. He would dip himself in the river and he would be made clean. And he's mad about that. And we got Gehazi watching this going on. The king is freaking out. Naaman's mad. He doesn't want to do this thing. Earlier today I was preaching about Haman, so I got to be careful I don't get Haman and Naaman mixed up. So we got the king upset that or freaking out that I'm supposed to heal people. Who am I, God? I'm not God. We've got Gehazi watching because Naaman is offering all this stuff to Elisha. Here's a change of clothes. Here's some gold. Here's this. Here's that. I've got this for you. So we got Gehazi, and this is something that God has really been speaking to me very clearly, is, and we'll get into this about Gehazi and what's going on in his heart in a few minutes. Because there's a lot going on in this story. So Gehazi, he's watching, the king's freaking out, Naaman's mad because he's telling him to dip in a river. He's got excuses. The only one that's really obedient in this whole story is the little girl that had every excuse under the sun to be mad, angry, and upset. She's been stripped away from her home, and she's speaking the word of the Lord. Did you hear what I just said? She's speaking the word of the Lord. God's not respecter of persons who he will and won't heal. He's not. But we have boxed it in and set it in our mind that it has to be this way. And if it isn't this way, then it can't possibly work. So then you go and he wants him to do this, and then his men finally convince him. And it says, verse 14, so he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of the little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, and all his company, and he came and stood before him, and he said, behold, I now, listen carefully. Now, you may say it a little bit different than mine, but he says, behold, I now know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Did you hear that? A servant girl who had every reason in the sun to go, who's got leprosy? Because he's a stupid jerk, and I don't like him anyhow. And they took me from my family. A little girl God used. No excuses. She just spoke the word. The prophet Elisha did what he was supposed to do. And now this guy, who's the second in command of a rival nation, a warring nation against Israel, is saying, I know that there's only one God. All the other gods, because I'm sorry, I know you don't like that in our modern world here today, the mention of another God. But in that ancient world, they believed in a plethora of gods. And he come to the reality through the word of a little girl that there was only one God. And that true God's name was Yahweh. Think about that. Think about all the excuses. Every time you felt the Lord tell you to do something, all the reasoning that come into your mind to tell you you can't do it. What was God setting to do? This isn't even the good part yet. It's coming. This isn't even the good part. Then he says to him, after he says this, he says, so accept now a present from your servant. This is Gehazi's coming in a few moments. Now accept. So accept now a present from your servant. This guy's the commander of the army of Syria. Now he's saying, I'm your servant. We're wondering why the world is standing against us so strong. Because we're fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting the wrong battle. Maureen just read it out of Ephesians. Told you, it'll all fit in. So accept a present from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives, this is Elisha speaking, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. You ever wonder why he refused? Anybody? Come on, this is interactive. Has anybody ever understood why Elisha refused to accept his gifts? What's that? Right. That's one reason, yeah. Somebody else. Come on. It all fits. We're all members of the body. We contribute. He didn't serve the same God. Well, the obvious, you don't buy God. You don't buy God. Now listen, this is where it gets really neat. Then Naaman said, if not, please let it be given to your servant, listen carefully, 2 mule loads of earth. What does he want dirt for? Somebody got a different translation? He says right here, two mule loads of earth, for now on your servant will not offer a burnt offering or sacrifice to any god but the Lord. In this matter, may the Lord pardon your servant. I'm just reading on while you guys jump up and say, this is why. In this matter, may the Lord pardon your servant when my master goes into the house of Rimeon to worship there, leaning on my arm, and I bow myself in the house of Rimeon. When I bow myself in the house, the Lord will pardon your servant in this matter. Anybody want to know why he wanted two loads of dirt, two mule loads of dirt? It's cosmic geography. What did the dirt where Elisha lived, what did the dirt represent? What did David say when he was driven out of the land by Saul? He was in a different territory. He's in a different land. That land, again, I know we don't like to hear this, that land was under the dominance or dominion of other gods. So what Naaman is asking is, can I take a little piece of Israel with me that when I got to go into my master's temple, because the king leaned on the servant Naaman's arm and he had to bow, that he would carry dirt with them, because he was saying, cosmology, I'm connected to Israel now. I am part of Yahweh's family. This is very important for us to understand in the world we live in. It's cosmic geography. This is a cosmic war that is going on right here. He does not want to serve the other god anymore. And the only way he can get around that is to carry dirt on him that represented that he was attached to Israel. Because it goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11 when God disowned the nations. He said, I will make a nation. Who did he make the nation from? Abram. And he said, if you will follow me, you will be the envy of the world. Are we getting this? This is important to understand. Because see, we're trying to figure out, how do I live my little life here? How do I exist? Remember who started this? A little servant girl. Nobody. And we got a cosmic war going on now. Because when he's going into the temple, he's taking Yahweh there. This all started from a little girl. He's taking Yahweh into the foreign gods. Remember when the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant? Remember that in Samuel? And the Philistines did what with the Ark? They put it in their temple. And what, they get up the next day, and what's up with Dagon? He's fallen down on the ground. Then they put Dagon back up. Then he's fallen down with his arms and legs broken off. This is a cosmic war, folks, and we've been in a cosmic war, but we don't realize it because we're just trying to eke out a living and get by. We're trying to figure, how do I pay my rent? How do I pay my bill? How do I get the right job? How do I just get enough schooling? How do I do this? How do I do that? How's that working for this little servant girl in a foreign land? We, if you're a child of Yahweh, we are of a different spirit. We're of a different kingdom. We're of a different philosophy. We're of a different belief. But it is amazing how many times the circumstances of the world dictate to us how we operate. So he's asking for dirt. He's asking for soil. He's asking for something to stay attached to. And the story of David, when he's driven out, when Saul drives him out of his land, he's saying, I'm not able to worship Yahweh anymore. That was the rules back then. And the rules today, as Paul tells us in Romans, therefore, now the verse jumped out of my head. I'll turn to it. We've been having a fight here this morning. It's been interesting, but that's good. Not you guys. I appeal to you, therefore, Romans 12:1, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the war. Are you in Christ or are you? I'm not talking about saved. I'm not talking about saved. I'm talking about, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? I can be in Christ right now. Hey, he's preaching. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And then walk outside and be in the devil. It's whatever we give our members over to, that's what we are servants of. So this is what is going on here. He's asking for two loads of dirt, which means nothing to us in our day and age, because it's insignificant. But he understands the geography of what is going on. He recognizes he had a revelation, even though it was through a healing, whatever you want to say, he recognized that there's one God. All these other gods are false gods. They're nothing. How are we demonstrating to the world that their gods that they're serving are false gods? Well, I argue with them. I punch them in the face. I kick them in the rear end when they're not looking. I call them all sorts of nasty names. That ain't going to work, because this is a cosmic war. This is a cosmic battle that is going on. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, Paul tells us. But we do it because the enemy has encroached on us so much that we can't see anything else. I thank God that this servant girl said, I know there's a prophet in Samaria. There's a prophet in Israel. You go to him. This is what we should be doing. I can't do anything for you, but I know there's a God. And I'll pray with you, and I'll agree with you, and I'll stand with you. I'll fast with you. I've heard my wife say so many times, okay, what are you facing? All right, let's fast. I'll fast and pray with you until we see a breakthrough. And this is what she gets most times. Well, I don't know. Just settle down a minute. Fasting? Just get rid of this thing off me. And that's it. No, because we don't understand that God is inviting us in to his family. See, we're trying to figure the Bible out. I've got it figured out. Genesis 1, Revelation 21, 22. Eden. Began in Eden, and it's going to be restored in Eden. What's that? Fellowship with God. Communion with God. Walking with God. Enjoying the goodness of God. Ruling and reigning with God. Well, no, we got to do it this way. If we don't twist our arm and push our leg up this way and contort it that way, then we can't do it. No, it's all about fellowship, and everything in between is broken fellowship, and how do we restore that fellowship? How do we get back to Yahweh? This guy here, Naaman, got connected to Yahweh, and he wasn't even looking for Yahweh. He was just, somebody take this burden off me. The whole society is under a burden, and we're going, oh man, what are we going to do? Oh man, oh, it's a heavy burden. Oh man, oh.
It's time for us to get up and say we serve Yahweh. We serve the living God. Oh, dropped my mind.
Kyle said he wrecked it, I wrecked it. It's time, folks. We have to see this. And see, Gehazi, I'll go into this real quick because I promised I would. I didn't promise. I said we would. So Gehazi, just to tell you real quick, he's watching everything going on. Guess what's rolling around in his and in here? What's wrong with Elisha? What's the matter with his brain? We live in nothing. We almost live in abject poverty, because if you follow Elisha's life, he was just like Elijah. They didn't have much. And they didn't care, because they had the best, and that was Yahweh. See how the world has... And then people say,
well, that guy was saying, I have a new vehicle, and he's saying I'm a sinner. I don't like him.
That's not what I'm saying. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying when these things of the world take precedence over God, and when society tells us how to live, I listened to a Christian radio station, different preachers on it, WDCX out of Buffalo, New York. And I got so ticked off, because this was the commercial. And most people didn't realize what was being said in the commercial. It was to women. It was geared to women because there was a women's get-together conference coming in the upper New York area. You raised your children. You served in the church. And now it's your time. You deserve a break. You deserve this for all you. You hear the spirit behind that? You hear how defiling that really is? Our reward is not on planet Earth. Our reward is where moth and rust cannot corrupt it. So Gehazi is watching this, and he's seeing this, and just for the sake of time, because I want to get into those other scriptures that were read, for the sake of time, Gehazi, oh, Naaman, whoa. Oh, we have some prophets coming. Oh, could I have a couple of changes, some coins too? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm going to do it for a noble reason. You know, they're coming on a journey, and I'm going to give them to them. And then he comes back, verse 25. He went and stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, where have you been, Gehazi? And he said, your servant went nowhere. Look at that. Look what's coming out of his house, or out of his heart. He's coveting, and now he's lying. Isn't it amazing what God does? Isn't it amazing? God allows certain things to come. The enemy does it to bad, 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 you're bad. And then we turn it and we say, God did that. You know why? You know why? God is allowing this to happen because he wants Gehazi to come and have fellowship with the Lord. But he can't get that because he's after what I need, what I want, what I desire, what I long for. You know, after all, I've been serving this guy. I've been pouring water on him just because Elisha had to pour water on Elijah's head. Now I got to do this, and it sucks, and I want something for myself. He didn't realize that he was in a cosmic war. And because he didn't deal with the issues in his heart, The enemy's about to take him out. He said, where have you been? He said, I've been nowhere. Verse 26, but he said to him, did not my heart go go when the man turned from the chariot to meet you? Was it a time to accept money and garment, olive orchards and vineyards, sheep, oxen, male servant, female servant? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence like a leper, like snow. Think about that. God is always weighing our hearts, and he's dealing with us, and he's walking with us, and he's stirring in us, and he allows these things to bubble up. And one of the things we get real well as a believer is, God's punishing me. God's doing this to me because he's mad at me. You ever looked at it a different way? God's doing it. Psalms 15, Psalms 24. Who may ascend into the holy hill of God? Those with pure heart, clean hands. He's not saying you're bad, you're evil, you stink, I want to kick you off the planet. He's saying something is separating us. Please deal with this. I want you to come closer. I want fellowship with you. I want to enjoy your company, and I want you to enjoy my company. That's what he's saying. But Gehazi could only look at it from his limited eyesight, from his limited viewing, from his limited perception. That's all he could see, was how do I get something for myself? And you know what? We've all failed in this. All of us. Myself, everyone. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that he isn't done with us. Thanks be to God we still have breath today. Thanks be to God that he's still working on it. I love, and I say this all the time. He says to Peter so many different times, he goes, you didn't get it. I'm just putting it in modern. You didn't get it. Here, take my hand. We're going to get this right yet. We're going to do this thing. We're going to walk because you're going to be one of the pillars in the New Testament church. We're going to do this thing. We're going to get it right. We need to change our perception. Hey, Elisha had his perception on God because he was taught by Elijah. Gehazi couldn't get past those barriers. He didn't see a cosmic war raging. He couldn't get past that. And there he stuck. And he's destroyed. Now, let's go over to these verses because I'm running out of time. Nobody told me how long. They said as long as I'm done before 5 p.m., we should be good. You know, there's one preacher. I can't remember what country it was. It was in Africa. He was a road construction guy. This is going back a number of years ago. It was the mid-60s, late 50s, something like that. Right there, he was running one of those packing machines or whatever that packed the road. Could have been the 70s. Right there, God called him into the ministry, and he just got off, parked the machine on the side of the road, and went, got involved in the ministry. He said to his fellow ministers, they come to see him one day at the church. He said to his fellow ministers, well, we should open in a word of prayer. Oh, yeah, great, wonderful. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, all that religious stuff. He began to pray. He got down on his knees. And finally, when he got up off his knees, they were all mad at him, looking at him, murmuring under their breath. He had just prayed for nearly 3 hours. Then one day, it was a Sunday morning, he said, let's open in prayer. He began to pray. And he was praying and praying and praying, praying. And he said, amen. And the people were sitting there. And he says, well, praise the Lord. I'm glad everybody's here for Sunday. And I said, Pastor, this isn't Sunday. This is Wednesday. We all went home. We've come back for the midweek service. He had prayed from Sunday to Wednesday nonstop. They said when he passed away, they thought the house was going to explode. The power of God come into the bedroom where he was laying on the bed. They said literally the walls were moving in and out. The glory of the Lord came out from underneath the floor. Oh, what's that for? Oh, thank you, thank you. The glory of the Lord was so present, some of the people were actually fleeing out of the house because it was so strong. This is a man that knew God. This is a man that understood Yahweh. This is why we need to understand who Yahweh is. We need to know. So she read this, and I'm going to show you how it fits in, because it's cosmic warfare. That's what it is. It's cosmic geography, cosmic warfare. Let's just start in verse 14 of 41. Fear not, you worm Jacob. I love that out of the ESV. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I am the one who helps you, declares the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you of a threshing sledge. Anybody know what a threshing sledge is? Any farmers here? Threshing sled, nobody knows. It's a weighted piece of just like a wooden box with kind of a smooth bottom on it. And you put some weight on it and you pulled it over top of it. It could have a little course on it. And you pulled it over the grain and it kind of broke the grain out of the kernels out of the stalk. That's what a threshing sledge is. That's what the Lord says. I'm about to make you a threshing sledge. New, sharp, having teeth. And you shall thresh the mountains and crush them. You shall make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the tempest shall scatter them. And you shall rejoice in the Lord, in the Holy One of Israel. You shall glory. What? Mountains? What? Why? It's related to what I've been just saying. Where did they believe the gods lived? In the mountains. In the mountains. Where did Moses meet the Lord? Sinai. What were they building in Babel? When the nations were separated, they were building a ziggurat, which is a tower, because they believed that's where the gods dwell. Do you hear what Isaiah is recording for us? We're to break these things down. We're to smash them down. We're to winnow them. Why? Because the gods have been vanquished. Sorry if you get offended. The demons have been vanquished. I know we have certain terminology we like and certain terminology we resist. I'm not talking about polytheism, and yet that's what they believed in those days. These that tried to exalt themselves against God, the people or God, have been told on planet Earth to stay in our position because it has been brought down. That's why Jesus said, you ever wonder why Jesus said in Matthew 28 before he ascended on high, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me? You ever wonder about that? He came with all authority from heaven. You read, you study this out in Luke 4 and Matthew 4. And when the enemy is tempting Jesus, when he's tempting Christ, he says, I will give you the kingdoms of the world if you bow down to me, for they're mine. When you study that out, what it means is they are his. But he did it by trickery. He did it by supplanting. He cunningly took it because humanity was given it in the Garden of Eden. We lost it. When it says in Matthew 28, it has been given to me, it means I competed honestly. I competed according to the rules. I competed to the standard that was set down. When you play hockey and you like hockey, you can't ice the puck all day long and then get mad at the ref. when he calls you on it, or offside, or do this, or high stick, or all, you have to abide by the rules. And what Jesus is saying is, I abided by all the rules that were foreset down, and I have taken it, and it's mine now. So he came with all authority from heaven, and now he has all authority on earth. But we're constantly giving the earth back to the devil. We're constantly saying it's his. We're checking out. This is why he says we're in the world and not of it. We're not of this system. You want to do a good word study? Walk through John 17, where he keeps talking about the world, 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 the world. Because it's not just the same thing through there. And so Jesus has vanquished the enemy. Colossians 2:14, laid them to open shame, disarming the authorities. What's our job today? To stand in that authority. And every time the enemy tries to push us around, what are we supposed to do?
Oh man, he's bigger than me. Oh man, I'm scared.
We're to tell him to shut up. We're to tell him to be quiet. And I'm taking you all the way back to Kings and saying that's what the little girl said when the voices were playing in her head, that she's a slave, that she can't do anything, that she's nobody, and that she's going to miss her mommy and daddy, and nothing's going to become of her life. She said, shut up. And I'm telling you, go see the prophet and you'll be healed. That's the kind of word God wants us to have in our heart. So he's telling through this portion of scripture in Isaiah, you're called to bring down every one of those strongholds. You're called to break, they're brought down. It's just, how do we live in accordance to that? Jesus did it. But when we think we have to earn our way in, then it's difficult. We don't earn our way in, folks. You see how all these verses fit together, even that was read earlier by different people? This is what God is speaking to his body. The excuses are over. The reasoning of the human mind. Because this thing, this right here between these two ears, this is the biggest battlefield right here. This gray matter. Because we reason everything away. Well, tomorrow. Tomorrow. Does anybody know what about tomorrow? One thing about tomorrow? Tomorrow never comes. Never comes. Because when tomorrow comes, it's today. And then we say tomorrow. And then it's today. And then we say tomorrow. And then we go, what happened to 10 years? Folks, he tells us, I already know what you have need of. I already know what you need. I already know what you're in need of. I've already taken care of that. Go do my will. See, what we don't understand, and we fail to understand this, did the nations divide in two? I'm talking about Israel right now. Did the nations divide in two because of Solomon had a whole bunch of wives, or did the nations divide in two because Solomon gave himself over to idolatry? What's idolatry? Worshipping something other than Yahweh. That's what God gets upset about. Was the nation of the northern tribes, they were carried away into captivity because somebody yelled at somebody one day? No. They were worshiping other gods. Was the nation of Judah carried away to Babylon because they sinned? No, they were worshiping. Yes, there's dealing of sin and everything else, but it's the willful worship of other gods. This is cosmic. This has been going on before humans were on planet Earth. That's why the scripture says the earth was void and without form. There was a cosmic war, and this war, we're in this war whether we like it or not. I just like to be informed. I just like to understand. And that's what God is teaching us. He's teaching me. He's teaching you. We're in this learning curve. He's showing us. It's not about performance, folks. It's not about performance. You know, I didn't swear this week, so God accepts me. I didn't have a cigarette, so God accepts me. I didn't have a drink this week, so God accepts me. Oh, okay, then let's throw Romans chapter 5 away, verse 8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No, but what about James? He says, show me your, you say you have faith. I'll show you my faith by works. You got to have works. Yeah, but the works James is talking about is totally different than what we've propagated on the people of God. How can you not, if you really love your spouse, how can you not do something nice for them? Well, that's a work. You're trying to earn their love. No, it's just a response out of the love. So here we are. We're locked in this cosmic war. God is working. God is doing wonderful things. And God can use you right where you are, in your circumstance, in your situation, right where you are. God has allowed you to be there at this particular time. In the circumstances you are, as difficult as they may seem to be, God wants to invade that area with the kingdom. Okay, a lot of blank stares, but that's okay. My wife just said, say it again. You come and say it again. Come on. Folks, this is the adventure that God has for each and every one of us. He didn't say when the circumstances are right, when everything's perfect, when everything's running smooth, when your car's running perfect, when the house is running perfect. Most times it's when everything's in chaos. Most times it's when everything's upside down that God is doing something. This servant girl had every excuse under the sun. Every excuse. She had every excuse. And so God, this, we're to thresh the mountains and to crush them. We're to do this. It just visits down upon the generation.
Well, no, it's you're taking a little more liberty and you're getting carried away.
Okay. I'll tell you, I've stumbled into this, and I'm not even going as deep as I went last week with the guys. I think they were, a couple of them, I had to close their mouth in the men's meeting because they were in shock. God has been showing me this over the last 10 years, this stuff. And I'm telling you, when you see it, you can't unsee it. You can't unsee it. It's like I said to someone, I'm dating myself now. I can remember as a little boy, the cars didn't have air conditioning. Oh, shock. Oh, horror. Anybody in the room that's old enough to remember that? They didn't have air conditioning. And when you first heard about air conditioning in a car, you went, that's just stupid. That's just dumb. Who needs air? Wind the windows. Notice the crank, not even buttons, you know. Wind the windows down, right? Then you get air conditioning. Well, I never want to have a car again without air conditioning. Oh, man, how did I ever survive before air conditioning? That's the same thing. When you see this cosmic thing, you can't go back. You cannot go back and say, well, I just want a nice, comfortable church. But it's happening now. It's the king. Here. Is Jesus king now or not? How can he be king if there's no kingdom? There is a kingdom. It's already, but not yet. We're the ambassadors of the kingdom. So wherever we stand, wherever we go, we're taking the kingdom with us. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit. Not the fullness of it, because there's something greater to come. It's like when a mother is pregnant with a child, you go, that's our baby, that's our baby. You're anticipating, you're excited. It's your baby. But the fullness of it isn't there yet. But when the birth comes, there it is. You go, wow, I didn't know it cried, pooped, and slept so much. But that's the kingdom. And that's why he kept saying, the kingdom is near, the kingdom is near, the kingdom is near. The kingdom's around you, the kingdom's here, the kingdom. Because he wants us to advance. Evil's always going to plot and plan. It always has. They were plotting and planning against Jesus. We got to kill him. We got to kill him. We got to kill him. Notice they couldn't, though. They couldn't kill him. They couldn't kill him. What time am I supposed to be done? Six? They couldn't kill him. He actually gave them permission. Because he gave his life. They didn't take it. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration? And all Peter can say, well, I built three tents. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. This is so exciting. And then they come down the mountain. Why did they go up on the mountain? Isaiah 41. He's making a declaration. You guys are about to be dethroned. What am I talking about? Well, where do we get Paul talking about powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness? Where do we get Daniel praying and the prince of Persia withstanding Gabriel and Michael coming and all this stuff? Well, that's just magic and make-believe. No. They're up on this mountain and what's happening is it's almost like the inauguration of the kingdom of God, because it was the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ that kicked it in. And they don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. And scholars say when they come down the mountain, they're down there, they're on the ground now, and that Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're this. Some say you're a prophet. Well, who do you say I am? You're the Son of God. You're the Christ. And I was taught in seminary when Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell. We were taught that it was what Peter said. Well, as I've been studying scholars and listening to them, you know what they say? You know where Jesus was? He was at the opening of Pan. What's Pan? Another name for the gates of hell, Sheol, death. He was declaring to them on the revelation of who I am, you're not going to withstand me. He was enticing them. He was saying, here I am, boys. Come and get me. It's going to be your greatest mistake. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Verse 9. If the powers would have known, they wouldn't have never crucified him. This is, folks, I could get into Hebrews 1 at the wonder of who God is and this Christ, this Son, this one that was sent and who he is, the essence of God, came to earth, walked amongst us. And we're saying, well, I can't do that. Just because God came and he did all this stuff and everything, but you don't understand, I'm too old. You don't understand, I'm too young. You don't understand, I'm too busy. You don't understand, I just need some me time. You don't understand. We don't understand who Christ is. Come on. We need to understand who Christ is. I'm telling you, it'll change your worldview. It'll grip you. I was the cup half empty guy all the time. I only got half a cup. Oh, it sucks. Oh, man. I see it overflowing. You can't see this any other way. We're in a cosmic war. We prayed for someone this week. They couldn't get out of bed. They're in agony in their back. This person's in absolute agony. They actually were going to text us the code to their door to open the door and come in their house because they couldn't get up. And they managed to struggle to the door and open the door. We prayed for this person, Maureen and I. We prayed for them. And we get a text, 5-10 minutes after we left? Praise God, my back is healed. So we go, we have a little more time on such and such a day. Can we come back? And it's not Char because we've been visiting Char, so don't worry, it's not Char. Anyhow, Maureen texts, hey, we'd like to come visit you again. I'm really tired. I need to sleep. This is 11 o'clock in the morning. See how the cosmic powers pushed that person back under again? That's exactly what happened. We're not wrestling against what... Well, amen, brother. We're not wrestling. Glory to God. If only I could survive this day. Come on. Our God is risen. Our God rules and reigns. Every power, every principality, every authority is under Him. I don't care if you're the prime minister of the country or a slave servant girl. There's no excuse. If you're a child of God, if you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've been redeemed by Him, you're walking in His authority. You get to choose each and every day. Push the authority away or receive the authority. Every single day, it's your choice. You can get up today and say, praise the Lord, have a great day, and tomorrow say, the world sucks, let me on. Folks, we got to get this. This is important. When Kyle and I were talking, I said, I got a message. It might tick some people off. Might stir the hornet's nest. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what evil's out there. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if some of us pass in the fight. God still remains God. That's what I love about the New Testament church, the early church. They didn't run and hide and say, well, James is dead. Let's pack it up. It's not worth it. The church kept moving forward. That's why it was they and them. It's not somebody's name in neon lights. It was they and them. And they went. And they did. And they this. And they and they and they. Because it's all of us. It's all of us. You get this. There's a cosmic war going on. You ever wonder why Christ said, and Maureen just loves this portion of Scripture, the woman, 18 years, had a spirit of infirmity. He didn't just say, oh, she's sick. It was a spirit infirming her. How many spirits are inflicting us and we don't even know it? It's time for us to get a little ticked off that we are being robbed our inheritance in Christ. Folks, this is serious stuff. There is a world that is going to hell and God wants His family back. We think Pentecost in the book of Acts was so we could speak in tongues. Do you know what it was? It was a declaration. I'm calling the nations back to me. I'm calling you home. You're part of my family. You've been estranged, but I'm calling you back. And we're engaged in this. Hallelujah. You want to add anything now? She doesn't. If anybody is interested, I'll pray with you. But I'm telling you, the prayer I pray for you, you may not like. because I'm going to ask God to open your eyes that you can see what's going on. Just like Elisha prayed for his servant, open his eyes that he may see that what your how your army is so much bigger than the army. We look at the wrong things, folks. We're seeing, and if we could only understand, I'm telling you, when this light clicked on me years ago, Maureen heard all about it. Maureen, look at this! Maureen, I want to show you this! I couldn't put it down. I couldn't stop. And I can't stop. And I'm not going to back away. And I'm not going to apologize for it. And it could get the church so mad at me. They'll go, pick up stone. I'm not talking about you guys. But the church in general could get so ticked off at this. Let's stone them. Because folks, contrary to what we believe, the religious people were the greatest enemies against Christ in the natural realm. We don't do it that way. We don't do it like that. So I'll pray with you this morning. One of the biggest things I hear out of older people is there's nothing I can do now. My day is past. Why not be a drone operator in the kingdom of God? Prayer person. Fly in drones. Blow up the enemy's encampments that has encircled people's lives and held them in bondage. Oh, well, there's not a lot I can do. Maureen, come share the story of O.D.L. Moody. Real quick. This fits in perfect. There's a mic. You guys know who D.L. Moody is, right? A revivalist.
And
do business, not preach. So, do business.
Okay, and so anyway, the church is in town. Why don't we come to church? And it's like, oh, and so he said, okay, yeah, I'll come.
Somebody praying, somebody asking, somebody calling on the name of God, somebody understanding that it didn't depend on them, it depended on God. It was dependent on God. Take the two loaves, the fishes, and multiply it, Lord. Do what you want to do. So, Father, even this morning here today, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you're at work in your church. This is you building your church, your kingdom. You are at work, God. And we thank you and we praise you for it. We thank you and praise you for the obedience of this little servant girl, this little nobody. We don't know her name. Scholars have even thought they could find it. They can't find it. They don't know her name. She's unnamed. And yet you knew her. You knew every part of her. And Lord, she trusted you. And she looked to you. We never hear her mentioned again. Just one little portion of scripture about her. That's it. Barely a mention. And what did you do? You caused, Lord, your kingdom, we'll say, to move into the Assyrian land because they took dirt there. It was the advancement. It was the moving forward of your purposes. How much more? How much more can be done today through and by the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost at work in our world? Father, forgive us for shrinking back. Forgive us for holding back. Forgive us for excuses. Forgive us for reasoning away things. Forgive us for those things. And Lord, I know that if we just ask you to forgive us, your word is true. It's not dependent on if I feel like you've forgiven me.
Right,
it's not dependent on whether my emotions are in line.
Yes.
It's dependent on your word.
Yes.
And your word says that you are faithful and
Jesus.
Just to forgive
yes,
us
Lord.
From all. From all unrighteousness. And to cleanse us. Lord, you said that. You said it in your word. You said that we have a high priest tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And you told us that therefore we can come boldly now to the throne of grace to receive mercy and help in our time of need. Well, we're in a time of need, God. We are in a time of need. You're just wondering if we will come.
Right.
And I'm not talking about coming up to the front and getting prayed for. I'm talking about if we will come before the throne of grace.
Yes, Jesus.
I'm absolutely amazed and enthralled by that scripture, Lord, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. To think that it was only one nation at one time allowed to come. And out of that one nation, out of 12 tribes, one tribe was allowed to come. And out of that one nation, of the 12 tribes of the one tribe, there was only one clan allowed to come. And out of that one nation, out of those 12 tribes, out of the one clan, it was only one family that was allowed to come. And out of that one nation and those 12 tribes and all those clans, one family and one out of the family was allowed to come, and to come but once a year. And now you're telling us we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Oh God, I pray that you would not find in this church those that would say, I bought a piece of land, I've got to go prove it.
Right.
I've got this to do, I've got that to do, because the banquet has been set. It is time for us to speak to those mountains.
Amen.
It is time for us, because that is where the powers of darkness have tried to reside and hide. And we do say, be thou cast into the ocean. We do say that.
Yes, Lord.
That's Jesus. What you were talking about when you said, if you have faith.
Amen.
Because it's cosmic geography. It's cosmic warfare.
Yeah.
And we thank you and we praise you, Lord. This church was going one way, but you set it in a different direction, because it's been in the heart of the pastor. Kyle, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. You have fought. You've tried. You've struggled in your own ability, your own might. At times you've been treading water, holding up your head above water. At times sinking, wondering, is it worth it? Is it? Is it? Is it? And God says, it's time to trust in the Word of God. It's time to trust in the Spirit of God. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. I will show you of things and wonders that you never dreamed of. I will bring you into places that you never thought you were, or you could be. You thought I needed to get a job. God's saying, you've got a job. It's in the kingdom of God. Yes, you will work a job, but the kingdom of God is your mission.
Amen.
I've set you on a new course, O man of God. The restlessness and the stirring in the heart and the frustration and the confusion, it was to drive you to me.
Amen.
It was to bring you into a new revelation, a new understanding, and a new insight. That hopelessness, that despair, that discouragement, that confusion. We thank you in the name of the living God that those things are broken, because part of the battle is exposing the work of the enemy. And the work of the enemy has been exposed.
Amen.
We thank you that he has been called by you. He wasn't called by man.
Amen.
He was called by you, equipped by you. And Lord, I thank you that there's been so many days in his life where he says, I'm incapable, because he's in the perfect place right there. Right there. Because the Spirit of the living God can work powerfully and move powerfully. And Lord, even as we heard out of this story that Maureen just shared, even when we're resistant, even when we're stubborn, somebody's been praying. Somebody's been crying out to God. Somebody's been petitioning the throne of grace.
Lord.
And
yes,
that's
Lord.
What we've been doing, God. And we're thankful to you. Lord, this may come in of one way this day, but we're going out a different way.
Amen.
We're going out a different way, God.
Jesus.
And we thank you and we praise you for that. And for those that said, my time is done, I'm in my elder years, there's nothing I can do. Lord, assemble.
Jesus.
Assemble a covert team.
Yes.
Assemble a covert team. That would go in as as spies to stake out the land. Lord, that they would stake it out, that they would see, they would do covert operations for the living God.
Amen.
Lord, they would spy out the stronghold of the enemy. They would see those things that seemed in so strong the word just flew out of my head, in not immutable, but so strong that they seem impenetrable.
Yes.
God, in the name of Jesus Christ, may they see that, Lord, all we're here to do is serve your purpose. We're here to serve the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And so, Lord, I pray that you would see a rising up of of warriors, prayer warriors.
Yes.
People that would say, I don't care. You may have caused my body to ache. You may have caused this pain or whatever, but you don't have my soul. My soul belongs to the living God.
Amen.
And I will
Amen.
Pray all the days of my life. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will call upon his name, because his name breaks the yokes of bondages that are on so many lives. God, I pray over this place, this building, this property in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask you, sovereign God, that your glory would rest here in a way that it has not rested. Not because I'm praying that. It's because of what you are doing in this hour.
Yes.
We're thankful for yesterday.
Yes.
We're thankful for yesteryear. We're thankful for the past times. But Lord, it is now our time to shake the cobweb.
Right.
It is now time to collect ourselves. It is now time to position ourselves in you.
Yeah. Amen.
And receive what you are doing. And we thank you and we praise you for that.
Yes.
Lord, we look to you because you're our hope. That servant girl said, she didn't say, if you let me out of my circumstances, I'll tell you how to get better. She was in her circumstances and she declared the word of the Lord, and in her declaring the word of the Lord declared a cosmic war that was invading the neighboring nation. I thank you and I praise you for that, Lord. I thank you and I praise you that we're ambassadors of the kingdom of God. We're representatives of you. We're representing Christ here on earth. We're representing him. Out of our lives is a representation of who Christ is. And I thank you and I praise you that every lie that we have listened to, everything that we have bought into, if we're willing, we just can lay it down. We can lay it down and let it go and walk not according to the flesh, but walk after the Spirit of the living God.
Yes.
We praise you, holy, righteous God, for the things that you are doing in our day that is beyond our capability to understand. We thank you in your holy name.
Yes. Amen. The Lord told this area to get up and walk.
Amen.
Get up and walk. And Lord, it also came and said, pick up your bed and walk.
Yes.
And Lord, we've looked so long at the bed, and you've been saying, pick it up. Roll it up and take it out. It's time to get up and walk.
Yes.
And
Amen.
So, Father, I pray, Lord God, whatever has kept us down, Lord, we would hear what God is declaring over this.
Yes,
nation.
Open our
ears,
Lord.
Jesus.
Get us
Jesus.
And walk. Just say, yes, Lord. Just cry out to God. And you will
Yes.
Shake yourself from the
God. Yes.
Right.
Arise.
Years ago, I was praying and I had this vision come in, and I don't know